Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, providing knowledge, professionalism, and information on insurance issues, commercial or pleasure, boat and crew. Petersburg Insurance offering asset protection on the water or at home.
Sorry, Kathy.
That's okay.
She will.
John Haverlip.
Here.
John Hogue.
Here.
Kurt.
Here.
Sue.
Here.
Nancy.
Yes.
Cindy?
Here.
And Mark?
Here. Okay, now it's time for the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. I need approval of the minutes for the regular meeting on July 15th.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any objections? Okay. Stand approved. Is there any amendments to today's meeting agenda? If none.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I'd ask that somewhere on the agenda would put the item of my involvement representing the borough in labor business.
Maybe we could add that under council discussion. Does that work for you?
That works for me.
Assembly discussion, excuse me. Item B. And can you repeat that, John, just for working for labor issues for the borough?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, if there's one amendment, and we just talked about that. I need a motion to approve today's agenda. That's the only changes.
So moved.
Okay, second. It's been moved and seconded to approve today's meeting agenda. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, it's approved. No public hearings or bid awards. Is there any visitors' views related? Barry, were you here to talk to?
I will be available to talk if necessary. If the discussion item comes up.
Okay.
Is that okay?
So you don't care to talk to it at this time? Okay. Is there any visitors' views unrelated to the agenda? Seeing none. Board, commission, and committee reports. There's none listed on today's agenda. No items under the consent agenda. And item 10 on today's agenda is a report of other officers. The first, item A, is a assessor letter, and that's in our packet, and it's available to the public. Borough Assessor Mike Renfro has provided Manager Giesbrecht with his written response to Ms. Escola's comments made during this year's Board of Equalization meeting. The letter is attached for review, so anybody interested in seeing that, that's available at the borough clerk's office. And Park and Recreation Director Don Hayes has an update on the pool cover. Donnie.
So I just wanted to take a couple of minutes. In the past, I know we've all been very curious to see some sort of savings on the pool cover itself. During our last budget meeting, we were under the impression that it was not giving any savings to the borough in general. But after looking at some assumptions that we had made, we came to realize that we'd made some incorrect assumptions. And so we were able to look at those and make some changes, and we found that the pool cover actually is saving us a fair amount of money. In your packet, I have there an account 38022, which is the electrical bill for the school district. And one of the assumptions that had been made was that the school district and myself were actually splitting the boilers in half, and I was paying for one and they were paying for the other. But come to find out, they're actually paying for both boilers, and Parks and Rec is paying for utilities as far as HVAC systems, lights, electrical, in-floor heating, all of that. And so what's funny about that is that about a year ago, I actually sent Dr. Rob an email saying, hey, I'm looking at your account, and I noticed that last summer you guys really did some awesome stuff, and we're saving a ton of money. Whatever you're doing, keep it up. And so after we started looking at that a little closer and realized that that account is actually the account for the boilers itself, if you look at June, July, August, and September of 2011, we're looking at about an average of $10,000 per month on costs for that. Whereas you look at June of 12 through September of 12, which is June was when the pool cover actually went in, the cost dropped down to about $8,000. In July, just a little under $6,000. And the difference is that during those months specifically, school is out, and we actually keep the pool covers on pretty much, you know, day round, except for the times that we have open swim or lap swim, those types of things. And so it actually is saving us a fair amount of money. And we're looking at, you know, savings of about $12,000 over the summertime. And so it's a significant amount. Under the 10-year warranty, which is what the pool covers have, we should have them paid off in about 8 years, as long as we continue in that order, which the trend is looking like that's exactly what's going to happen.
Good. So it's paying off.
Absolutely. So I found that to be good news, and I thought you guys would like to hear that as well.
Okay. Thanks, Don. Okay, now it's time for the mayor's report, and one thing I'll add to that is I'm going to be attending a Cake Petersburg Interties Steering Committee meeting in Cake on Wednesday. I'll go over Wednesday morning and come back that afternoon, and I gave everybody a copy of what's on the agenda, and it's kind of going over EIS for the power line and talk about road, Cake to Petersburg Road, and the impact of the road construction on the timing of it, and it's kind of a schedule of events here for the power line that could be going out looking for hiring a design engineer in 2014. So anyway, we can have more of an update after we have that meeting Wednesday. And first item officially on the agenda for the mayor's report is declare a vacancy on the hospital board and solicit letters of interest to fill the vacancy. Ken Hill has submitted his resignation from the hospital board in order to pursue expansion of his business. The clerk is hereby authorized to advertise for letters of interest from the community to fill the vacancy. The appointee to the vacancy will serve until the October 2014 election. And there's a letter from the mayor to Senator Begich in regards to keeping a Coast Guard cutter in Petersburg. They're going to be retiring the 110-foot vessels and bringing larger vessels to Southeast, and it's important to the community to try to keep the Coast Guard presence in Petersburg. So that letter's in the packet and available to the public as well. Work session reminder, the Hospital Board and Borough Assembly will conduct a joint work session on August 22nd at 9 a.m. in the Assembly Chambers. The work session will focus on finances of the hospital and how borough formation may affect hospital funding and governance. The public is invited to attend. Kurt, your VHF's on. Someone's calling you on the radio there. And we have a thank you plaque from the Chamber of Commerce presented to the borough for helping fund the fireworks. And that's it for the mayor's report. Now we're on to the manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Parks and Rec is going through kind of our annual conversion as our lifeguards move and go off to college and leave town. They're currently training 5 new lifeguards and should have them up to speed shortly. Alaskan Industries, which is the company that is redoing the floor in the community gym, should be in town this week to do that. Should take them about a week, and then 2 weeks for the floor to cure. Should be reopened by September 1st at the latest. Kind of an added note to that. The assembly voted not to put the logo on the floor to save the money. Donnie's staff did some kind of just picking up supplies, playing gophers for Alaska Industries for us. And to kind of be nice to us, I guess, Alaska Industries has agreed to put the logo on for free. So we'll actually get the logo on the community gym. So thank very much to them for their gesture to the community. Final punch list at the library is underway at this point. Just kind of a note that the landscaping, for those people who look, will not be doing that until next spring. We'll plant some, basically, something to keep erosion at control, but then we'll come back next spring and actually do landscape. We're afraid this late in the season, if we plant stuff, it may not last, and gives us a chance to have a different contractor do the landscape than the construction contractor. They're currently packing materials at the old library and moving stuff over. There is a bit of a hiccup in the library schedule. The shelving units, the shelving vendor has contacted us, and we're still putting some pressure on them and added another 30 days to their construction time. So Tara's in the process of trying to figure out what we can do, how we're going to handle that. She's working with her staff, and so we don't inconvenience the community, but it appears at this point there's not much we can do about it. The having some minor touch-up painting done at the manor after we had had the facilities power washed. We have a physical inspection of the location scheduled for September 18th, so we wanted to kind of get those little things done. The manor, this was as of last week, Sheila tells me the manor is 100% smoke-free. So we're now in compliance with all of the HUD guidelines on that. North Harbor, for those of you who haven't noticed, is underway, thanks to Glow and her staff and all of the contractors. So I think the dredge contractor scheduled.
They can't, the hang-up is they can't get rid of the spoils until September 1st up at the Baylor. So, but they came through this last week, and they're Johnny on the spot, ready to get going early. So it looks like everybody's going to be here on time.
Thank you. Well, we did have a couple of thefts in the South Harbor where it appears suspect activity was caught on the cameras. The harbor staff is working with the police and trying to identify, using the what we did catch, identifying the suspects and providing information to aid in arrest and prosecution. Doug Wilde, congratulations to him. He was been elected by the volunteers as the fire chief. He will serve in this position until the next election in November. Doug and I had a quick, hello, how are you again? And as soon as things slow down a little bit, we'll get together as well. Power and Light continues to work on part 12 of their FERC inspection of the Blind Slough project. The consultant that we are using, as well as the FERC inspector, will arrive this week and begin the safety inspection and operations review of the facility. They look at the dam, the equipment, and basically our plans up there to make sure we're in line with all everything we're supposed to do. The new scow bay generator, we continue to have a little bit of problems with it. It's now fully functional. We had some warranty work done on it. Particularly the fuel system was giving us some problems. It was tested for about 8 hours and operated like it's supposed to. We'll keep an eye on that. That's a very expensive piece of equipment, and we want to make sure it doesn't continue to have problems. Department heads and staff members who work with preparing agendas and minutes for assembly and committee meetings have gone through training on the new Legistar Granica system. We're slowly going to be rolling this out as we try to figure out exactly how to make this work for electronic stuff, how it goes onto the website, and how it works in the new system for storing data. Eventually, when we get this done, the big advantage is the ability to search things, and that search tool will be available to the public as well from the website. So you want to look up stuff involving the North Harbor, you'll be able to pull every document that has been out there related to an agenda that's been related to the North Harbor. So it'll make it a lot easier for Kathy and staff to look stuff up once we get it fully implemented. Drafting of a new employee handbook is about 50% complete. Once this is completed, it will be reviewed internally, and then we'll send it to legal counsel before being issued to employees. We have started the process of updating all job descriptions. many jobs have changed over the years, and the job descriptions have not necessarily kept pace with that. This is kind of an opportunity to make sure they're all in line before we start the next union contract, which is a ways off, but it takes a long time to do job descriptions, so we are in that process. Police Department and Chief Swihart asked me to kind of talk about it a little bit, which was we've reported a very high number of alcohol-related incidents this summer. He's reached out to the Alcohol Beverage Control Investigators, and they're going to be conducting a refresher course with our officers to help them in handling the increased workload in the proper way, make sure we're doing everything so if cases are brought in, that they'll stand up with the DA. Public Safety Advisory Board met on July 17th, and the primary discussions were related to traffic on IRA 2 in Sandy Beach. Chief asked for a lot more public input on this. Evidently, the Public Safety Advisory Board made some recommendations on increasing speed limits. Chief Swihart really wanted to hear more from the public on this, so he's encouraging people to weigh in. I think even a survey has been sent out to folks to try to get some input from folks on it. Public Works is beginning the process of outlining the materials list for replanking the Rasmus Enge Bridge. We will start that after we get the materials list. We find somebody to do it for us, and we make sure the existing road is completed before we start messing with it. But at this point, we don't feel we're going to have grant funds available in a timely enough manner to avoid this, that we're going to need to replank it and spend our money to get that done. There is some risk that as we start taking planks off in a major way, that we'll find things we don't want to find, but I don't think we have any other choice in this. Landfill is almost ready. You heard Glo talk about the landfill piece of it for where the dredge spoils go. It's about 4,000 truckloads of dredge material that will go from the North Harbor up to the landfill. So we have an outside vendors removing old cars and metal in mid-August, and then we actually used all of our old tires out of the gun range. So we got rid of some of it that way. And we'll continue major cleanup to when we're ready and the permits or the plan's all done, ready to go, that we'll be able to get that dredge material up there. The Banana Point rack project has been canceled, unfortunately, at least for now. We had permission, and the rack group did thumbs up on the project. Forrest Cole and Jason Anderson both backed the project, thought it was a great use of the funds. But a grant administration person in the Forest Service said no, and basically told us that if we went ahead with the project, the borough might be liable for the costs if at some point it's audited and they decided that it was not a good use of funds. So we can't do that. So we told them thanks but no thanks, and that project is stopped at this point. The Forest Service was apologetic, and they are, particularly Jason and Forrest, were sorry that it had to go that way. But
Mr. Rader, I don't know the details of that project.
Carl, can you speak? I mean, it was some maintenance issues as well as adding a float out there, wasn't it? But
the big issue was a boarding float next to the launch ramp. That was what we were targeting with this grant extension and more money, but they couldn't agree on that.
And then changes to the solid waste voucher system went into effect on August 1st. Residential customers are limited to one voucher a year, and the harbor and commercial voucher system has been eliminated. Carl, please correct me if I say this wrong. I tried to make sure I had this right. If someone has an existing voucher, it does not expire immediately. It will last for the full year.
That is correct. Yeah, if anybody has an existing voucher that still has credit on it, it will remain into effect until a year from when they bought that voucher. So we're not eliminating them. If they went over the current limits, we reduced the landfill limits from 2,200 to 1,500. So if they've gone over 1,500 pounds this year, then they don't have any more credit left. they'll be eligible to receive another voucher a year from when they purchased the voucher that they have now.
Okay. Sue, do you have a...
I've never heard of these vouchers. How do they work?
Okay. The voucher program was started to replace the spring cleanup. The utility was seeing a lot of lost revenue from the spring cleanup events that we held when we started shipping waste. It was very expensive for us to sponsor that on a yearly basis, upwards of $20,000 to $30,000 a year that we were having to pay to ship out the quantity of stuff that we got in during spring cleanup, and we weren't receiving any revenue for. So we went to a voucher system. It was very well received. And the voucher, basically buy a voucher, but we discount the rates of various commodities by quite a bit, up to 80% discount. And you can use that throughout the year instead of just one weekend a year. So it was a discount program for residential customers to supplant the spring cleanup event, still providing for residential customers to clean up their property and clean up the community at a greatly reduced rates. The changes recently have come about because the way we implemented the program, there were some loopholes in there that allowed harbor customers and commercial customers who had utility accounts to buy multiple vouchers, and that really wasn't the goal of the program. It was just to clean up residential areas, much as the spring cleanup was a residential program only. And so anyway, we cleaned it up, and we're just going through a transition right now into the new updated program.
Thank you.
Carl, does this apply to all borough residents or just service area one?
I think it would apply to all borough residents, yes.
That's what I thought.
We're as part of the verification that you're a resident, it relies on the ultimate program will be to rely on a property tax statement. Of course, people outside of service area one don't have those yet. Gotcha. So we'll be allowing those folks to get one. It'll be a little bit difficult at the beginning here as people who live outside service area 1 want to buy a voucher, but it's allowed, and we'll keep track of it somehow and make sure that everything is done fairly for those folks that want to take advantage of it.
Thanks, Carl. Thank you, Mayor.
Thanks, Carl. Any more questions of the manager on this report?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I have two. One was on the alcohol incident, and this may be more appropriate for Captain Hamilton, I'm not sure. Are the increase in the number of incidents related to the bars, or is it people from their homes getting... What I'm getting at is, are the bars giving... not cutting people off when they should?
It's pretty complicated. There's some stuff coming out of the bars, but there's also a fair amount of stuff that's cannery workers out in the woods and at parks and things that we're dealing with just that we're coming across in patrol. So it's not really that simple.
It's not
something we can have the ABC board come in and say we have a problem with this bar.
Right.
We've done that in the past, and it's worked pretty well, but we're not in that situation now.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. And the other question I had was on the bridge. And what we might run into and what we might not run into. And I know if we have to run into a total rebuild, I think the estimate was about $1.5 million, or it was seemed to be well over $1 million. Anyway, I remember way back when I was still alive, one of the options on that bridge was to make it a walking bridge only. And with Tonka Seafoods moving out, there's not going to be a major need for a roadway, especially if we have to pay $1.5 million. Is it possible if we're looking into that and we find more problems than we can contend with, do we want to look at that possibility again of making it a walking area only?
I can. There's definitely always that worry. I mean, I think going to a walking bridge would impact the Sons of Norway dramatically, and we want to try to avoid that. One of the things I was kind of hinting at is we've replanked it so many times already. The stringers underneath only have so much holding power, and that's where you jam those spikes into to hold the planks on. So you start pulling the planks up, we may have stringers that won't hold anyway, and that becomes even a bigger problem. So honestly, it's one of those, we're going to take it a step at a time. Carl's group's going to When we get to that point, we'll start working on it, and we may find that, oops, we're not going to be able to adequately replank it, and we may have to do interim things like making it walking only, severely restricting weight on it until such time that we either get the funds or allocate funds to redo it. But it's a valid concern.
Do you have a budget in mind where you want to say, well, we need to stop here?
I think we budgeted in this year's budget $60,000 for that bridge. So that's all we have at this point, unless I come back to you and, you know, say we need $1,000 more or something like that. But at this point, we're looking at a $60,000 project, and that's all we've got money for.
Okay. Thank you.
Sue?
I had a question for the city manager on the building inspections. Have they been done by the engineers, this building and the Reed Marine or Reed building?
They were here over the last 2 weeks. We do not have the report yet. I think he looked at the municipal building on Friday, Leo? Thursday or Friday?
Thursday or Friday, yes.
So we know they've been here. We know they've done the inspections. We don't have the results yet.
Okay, thank you.
I have one question for the manager on the shelving for the new library. Is that going to hold up the opening date?
No.
So
too hard to get everybody here at one time. That date's been out there. We're going to stick to that grand opening date. We may not have bookshelves. I say that carefully. We have bookshelves against the walls. Mm-hmm. So we've talked about, you know, filling those. We've talked about, you know, do we need to reopen the old library? You know, if this is going to pose a huge problem. We're still putting a lot of pressure on the shelving manufacturer to say why, and maybe that will solve itself. But the community deserves to hear, you know, the status on this. And it's, you know, it was a surprise to us. We got it on Friday that basically and they're running 30 to 45 days behind and don't think they can make it up. So, we're going to do the grand opening. We're scheduled. It just may be fewer books than we would like.
I have a question about that same shelving issue. Is there a penalty, a daily penalty for each day the shelving contractor is late?
We are pulling the contract as we speak. That's one of the things we're looking at. I don't know. I don't know how the contract's written, but it's a concern.
Any more questions of the manager? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to unfinished business. Item A is the general appeal of the Petersburg borough boundaries. There will be an oral argument will commence at 3 p.m. Wednesday, September 4th in Juneau. Judge Menendez has allotted only 1 hour total for all three parties to make their case, and I will be traveling up there to be present, as well as our borough attorney will be there. Redistricting, the Riley plaintiffs have challenged the redistricting board's adopted plan. Legal counsel does not believe the challenge will affect the adopted redistricting of Southeast. And item C, ordinance 2013-9, an ordinance updating current language to reflect borough incorporation and providing for the harbors located within service area 1 only, the limiting of fish cleaning to designated cleaning stations and prohibiting the disposal of fish or animal waste and parts. This is the third and final reading. Need a motion to proceed?
So move.
Second.
It's been moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Havlicek to adopt Ordinance 2013-9 in its third and final reading. Any discussion? Seeing none, will the clerk call the roll?
John Havlicek.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Sue.
Yes.
John Hall.
Yes.
And Cindy.
Yes.
Okay. Ordinance 2013-9 passes in the third and final reading. And item D, Ordinance 2013-10, an ordinance updating Chapter 4.04 entitled Purchasing. Updating current language to reflect borough incorporation and provide uniformity between the code and the borough standard specifications manual. This is the third and final reading. We'll entertain a motion to adopt in a third reading.
I so move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved by Member Flint, seconded by Member Havlicek. Any discussion on Ordinance 2013-10? Seeing none, will the clerk call the roll?
John Havlicek.
Yes.
John Hall.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
Sue.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
And Mark.
Yes. Okay, Ordinance 2013-10 passes in its third and final reading. And item E is the CAKE Access EIS, a proposed letter, which there's a copy of in our packet, with comments to the draft purpose and need statement for the CAKE Access project has been prepared for assembly consideration. The comments are due today by the end of business, and the Federal Highway Administration has been advised that the Petersburg Borough will be submitting a comment after this meeting. So any discussion on the letter that's been presented for us to approve? Page 39.
Do we need a motion on the letter to start discussion?
Yeah, let's do it that way.
Okay, so I move we discuss the letter?
Adopt it as presented, we could amend it if we care to.
Okay, second.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Flint, seconded by Member Strand to adopt the letter as presented to send to Federal Highway Administration. Is there any discussion?
Well,
I have a few things I'd like to talk about, but I'll wait for everybody else to have their input.
Go ahead, Mark.
I'll go first?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, not being here for the whole process and kind of picking up on the purpose and need, the draft and reading that, and then the comments in this letter and some other comments involved in this issue, I think we should be careful of the way we approach this. For the background on the $40 million that will fund this road project, it came from the state. It's state oil tax money, went to the state general fund, went into a roads to resources pot of money, and two sessions ago, I believe, the legislature appropriated money for roads to resource projects. There was three projects in Southeast. $40 million went to the Cape Petersburg Road. $14 million went to Catlian Bay and Sitka. And I believe it was $20 million went to Shelter Cove and Ketchikan. And that's money that our local senator got, and I don't know how many millions of dollars were allocated to be spent in the interior. I'm sure it was multiple times of what this is, just the way the numbers work. So if it's decided that the Cape Petersburg Road, and the way I understand it, the road is to be from Senator Stedman's perspective, which I would imagine to be the perspective of the legislature, is an access road to put the power line along. Well, the power lines, EIS, their status is they're about a year ahead of the road, the power line is. We've talked with Trey Atkinson. So they could delay that a year to wait if the road gets built. It would be cheaper to build the power line by $7 million, I believe, is the figure he gave me. But every year you delay the power line project, it goes up 10% in value. And if that's $100 million, so that's kind of a wash. But if this money doesn't get used to build a project in our area in the district, it will get spent in the district. I mean, maybe in Ketchikan, maybe on Prince of Wales Island, the $40 million has been allocated for this district. As far as in this letter, they talk about the city of Kupanoff's right as a roadless community. I agree with you. Don't have to be a road. Don't have to have a road through Kupanoff. There's a piece of land that could be selected through the borough process, the 1,400 acres we can choose on Prowlery Point, which is at the mouth of the Narrows. The road could end there, and it's been discussed about the power line. One of the routes, if it came the northern route, crossing the mouth of Wrangell Narrows, a submarine cable coming ashore, the Sandy Beach area, not sure of an exact location, behind the airport and into our substation out in Scow Bay. So that would alleviate the concerns of having to put a road through Kupanoff or a power line. as far as shortening the review time, using the MAP 21 process, like I stated earlier, conversations with Trey Atkinson, even road projects, Trey is the SEPA, CEO of SEPA. If projects go up 10% a year, if we use a regular NEPA process, if it is 8 years, I'm not too familiar with the NEPA processes, that makes the project go up 40% in value. So can we even afford to do the project? You know, I'm not sure. So I would just like to for us to consider what we say in this letter. I'm kind of, you know, I'm in favor of development. This road would be just a access road for the power line and a seasonal transportation road, is the way I understand it. 18-foot wide gravel road. Won't be a paved highway like South Mitkoff Highway. That is not the intent. So then we have conflicting reports from the Federal Highway Administration in their draft purpose and needs statement.
Right.
So
Mr. Mayor,
it's a complicated issue, but the $40 million allocated for this project, I don't know what it would take to make that go to another project. So anyway, that's my input on the issue.
If I may, Mr.
Cindy?
Mayor?
Yeah.
If the purpose of this project is primarily as the maintenance road for the power line, we have a legal problem, and that is that the road's stated purpose and only purpose given by Federal Highway is that it's an access road for CAKE to Petersburg, that it's to provide transportation to regional hubs. There is no mention in the purpose and needs statement of anything about the power line, and therein lies the rub. If that's the purpose of the project, they need to say that's what the purpose of the project is and analyze it accordingly, and that's the law. And that's the problem primarily with this project. I don't think having a maintenance road for the power line is a bad idea. It's just not what is being proposed here.
In the draft purpose and need letter.
In the draft purpose and need letter. Right. And so if the real intent for the road is that it be primarily a maintenance road for the power line, they need to state that. And the complicating factor is then that makes it a connected action with the power line, and they need to be analyzed at the same time.
Member Strand?
And since, by my reckoning, the obvious route for the power line is the north central, the central north route from across and coming out and going to the Scow Bay access or the site, the transformers, whatever it is, is easier there than going across that. There's, we just had a ferry run into Caylordall Dock, and many people blamed it on the tide rip out there. There's an even bigger tide rip across the mouth of the Narrows, which seems to make a poor ferry route, for my opinion. And then, where are we going to get this electricity that we're going to be sending to CAKE? We have barely enough electricity for ourselves during the cold of winter. Just my observations. I think that this letter, as we discussed it, and it seems to be a pretty good letter, but if it's going to be an access road to do the power line, and we don't even know where the power line is going to go, it seems like a strange thing to...
The way I understand it, the power line will follow the road,
mm-hmm.
the northern route. Funding from the state will probably not take place if the northern route isn't used. Why, I'm not sure, but that's what I understand it. And as far as the ferries that are talked about in some of the comments on this issue, the state won't be funding the ferries. For they're trying to fund the mainline ferries that we have now to replace the Tustamina and the two ferries up in Lynn Canal, the Alaska class ferries, which have been changed since last year. So, yeah, I don't know. If I don't support this letter. I would rather see a simple letter in support of the road for some kind of access, which we have to have, and it has been talked about, a summertime transportation route. probably won't be maintained, like Cynthia said, so you're not supplying more transportation to the people in Cake, which this purpose and needs document states that it's for.
So, Mr. Mayor, if I may, maybe that's where we should focus our comments, is that the purpose and need statement needs to reflect that this project does have a connection to the has a logical connection to the intertie, and would provide access to maintenance, and would provide some incidental travel.
That makes sense to me. So we need to, if that's the route we want to take, we need to amend this and make a shorter version, getting the points across that Member Lagodakis just brought up.
But I also think that we want to include support for our existing ferries and support for roadless community in Kupernaum.
I would agree with that.
I would too.
Yeah, because this alternative five there from the DOT scoping report is you know listed in there, mm-hmm. which we want no part of. That's going to hurt Petersburg more than anybody with ferry service. So,
Member Havlick?
Yes, I agree with most of this letter also, but yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to the changes that have just been suggested. But the other problems I also see is there's still no money for a ferry terminal on this side and on the Kupernaum side, and the state's not supporting what we have now, so they're not going to support two more terminals plus staff, and we know labor costs are the thing that's killing the ferry service now. They'd have to have people hired to be at both terminals besides constructing those terminals, and then they'd have to build a ferry to go from wherever it went across the Narrows, which they're not going to do. The thing that I fear is, you know, is we get this road built and they'll say, doy, we're done. And we don't get the terminals. They take some of our ferry service away and just put it to Cake, saying that you've got an access road there, you know, just because you can't use it, that's your problem. Yeah, I see us losing more services, and I just don't see any positives about this, and I don't see how it's going to, other than the money for a road, how it's going to, any of this is going to be carried off. It's just not logical to me, and I think it's my problem because I guess I'm not that creative, and my imagination isn't that good, but yeah, I just see more downsides than upsides, and it just seems like with the 5 million federal highway is putting into the study, the 5 million SEPA is putting into the study, with $10 million, I think we could get power to Cake tomorrow, rather than, this is almost going to hurt Cake more than help them, because I see this delaying tactic going on and then nothing ever occurring.
So,
I'm a negative guy.
I'm just trying to comment about $10 million, you can get power to Cake. I'm sure if that was doable and have some kind of renewable, cheap energy, it would have been done.
Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, there are actually some grants that I believe they've gone to Cake Tribal to investigate some alternative sources of power. They have not been fully investigated or brought online yet. So there's money coming from several angles to several different entities at Cake to try and develop more than one solution to their power issues.
Probably through IPEC, maybe.
I have the newsletter and I can't remember the details of it.
Well, yeah.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Did I hear that you're going to attend the meeting in Cake on this later this week or next week?
Wednesday morning.
Perhaps it would be good if we have time to kick this down the road and see what the Cake's thoughts are on the road. I've, heard that they don't speak sometimes with one voice, that the tribe may speak and the city may speak. They may not agree all the time, but it would be useful to see what Cake thinks about, does it need a road or does it just simply need the power?
I think it's hard to get an answer. I think people have tried, but the article in this week's paper, I believe, came, maybe Member Lagodakis was quoted as saying 15 of the 20 people you talked to wanted the road. Is that correct, or was that a misquote? Or
I actually haven't seen the paper because I was in Ketchikan over the weekend. I did attend the public meeting. The representatives from Federal Highway Administration said in the meetings that they've had in CAKE, I talked to Corey Veenstra, that there was support for the road. When members of the audience asked, was that support? Because the road was presented as, you're not going to get the power if you don't agree to the road, Federal Highways insisted that wasn't the case. I'm not sure that the audience was convinced. So it's very difficult to say. But John, the big push is that comments have to be in by today. And so we can't extend our time frame. Federal Highways is not being flexible with that time frame.
Did you hear all that, John?
Yes, thank you. Some of you folks come in better than others, but I've been able to hear the last you and Member Lakatakis very clearly.
So I have a question for Cindy, since you seem to be more familiar with this process than I know myself anyway. We're talking about comments in response to the draft, purpose and needs. So what's the next step?
They will put together a draft document, and hopefully they'll allow comments on that draft document. What we're helping do now is shape the direction that the project will, what they choose to analyze. And I can't say whether our comments will be accepted or not, but I think as a community to make those comments is going to carry some weight.
So it could be a gesture, or it could, you know, or a kind gesture. It could be have some influence on their decision. Depends on how they look at it, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's not on the decision, but actually what we're helping frame the project that they analyze.
Okay. So it's been discussion. So through this discussion, we've decided, I guess the discussion at one point was to change this letter, but keep in it the roadless rights of the city of Kupernov, combine the projects as a access road with transportation. It won't be yearly transportation probably with the maintenance. Is it possible to have something, well, I don't know if we could draft something up quick enough for us to approve.
I just have a suggestion.
Sure.
Just taking what Cindy said earlier, I was thinking you can almost, if you want to keep, need to combine projects, you keep that, but strike the next bullet, which is consider improving existing transportation alternatives. Keep the next bullet in there that talks about a little benefit to us, yet potential loss of local economy. Did you want that in there? Because that's what talks yes. about ferry service.
Yeah, part of it.
And then keep the bullet on Kupernov and take out the shortened review process. And you can kind of just work with those two or three bullets that are remaining.
There are a couple statements in the considering improving existing alternatives that I would like to keep. And one is the comment that a road will present only another seasonal option. Mm-hmm. I think that's an important mm-hmm. point to make. Mm-hmm. And the statement that reliable, affordable ferry and air service will always need to be a part of the equation to maintain healthy economies in Southeast communities.
I think that would be important to keep in there. The Petersburg community would receive little, if any, benefits. I could see potential benefits if the road's built, if it ends at Prowlery Point. It could provide the opportunity for someone to have a little shuttle service of their own to bring containers of seafood from Prowlery Point to put on the ferry system or AML. I'm sure AML goes to CAKE already, so that might not be an option. But to get smaller deliveries of fish to Alaska Airlines to be shipped out. I know CAKE has got the Rocky Pass Seafoods there now, and they're trying to revitalize their cannery. So. I mean, having that statement, you know, it might provide some economic benefit to businesses within the borough, or the city of Petersburg, the borough of Petersburg area, service area one, I guess. Or, Member Stratt?
I'm not in favor of advocating for any route. What if the road to Prowery Point, instead of bringing an opportunity to bring fish from Cape to Petersburg, presents an opportunity or becomes the requirement that fish goes from Petersburg to Cape to be shipped out?
Are you talking about shipping on the ferries?
Well, whatever you're talking about, bringing fish from Cape to Petersburg, and what if instead supporting that route, that northern route, becomes the requirement that we find that we have to ship fish to get it out of Petersburg to Cape to get it on the ferry?
Well, I think the whole infrastructure in Cape would have to be expanded dramatically to...
Yeah.
Exactly. We have the biggest shipping port in the southeast for fish, Alaska Marine Line. It's just be awful hard to move that. Anyway,
we don't need to be advocating for a certain route. If we're, I think that we're opening a can of worms that it's going to have an unintended consequence that we may not appreciate.
Okay. So can we agree on keeping the need to combine projects, City of Kupernaut's rights, keeping the sentences in there from consider improving existing transportation alternatives that Member Lagadakis pointed out, about keeping the ferry and air service essential to our area, and the road would present another seasonal option, which, the way I understand it, is going to be an 18-foot wide gravel road similar to what we drive on when we go around Three Lakes. A member of the audience would like to comment.
Now, Mr. Mayor, this is more of a question than a comment, and maybe Cindy, you could answer this. But I remember hearing a news blurb not too long ago that specifically said that the Federal Highway Administration could not approve this project unless the ferry link was included as part of the project. Is that did I mishear that, or?
You know, I think I recall them saying that as well, but I can't state it for certain, and I've been trying to bring up their website, and I don't have the web address right at hand.
I mean, this whole thing might be moot if there's no connection written into the proposal, so regardless of where it goes. So I just wanted to put that on the table.
The ferry connections that they're talking about, I think they're hoping that that they won't be state-run ferries. They're hoping that will be, that they may build the facilities, but then that somebody will use that as a private opportunity.
Yeah, well, certainly, but the facility would still have to be part of the plan, as I understood it, in order to be approved for funding.
I think you're correct.
Yeah, okay. I just...
Yeah. Mr. Mayor? Just to... I went to the meeting when the Federal Highway gentleman was here, and he did say that they would not approve the money unless the whole thing was... put in place.
That's what the Federal Highway
person
said. Well, the $40 million is coming from the state.
Right.
So they wouldn't approve the project?
Right.
The Federal Highway Administration wouldn't?
It'd have to all be put together.
But they didn't mention that in here, in their statement.
When we were in the meeting, he was asked that, though.
Well, maybe we're...
Mr. Mayor, Kurt here.
Yes, Kurt.
You know, because of my profession, I'm not sure why it would be advantageous for the ferry system to use Cape as a hub. It's just my 2 cents worth. And then send a ferry down around Cape Decision in the wintertime. I don't see why that'd be more advantageous than it would be to bring them to Petersburg. So, just to my 2 cents.
That's a good point. I mean, they've been transiting Wrangell Narrows since 1965, whenever they were built, and they've been on the rocks a couple times and ran into one dock, but the current's been there all the time. So I don't know what's the wish of the assembly. We should move past this, or not move past it, but get this resolved so we can move on.
Do we need a motion, or do we need to amend?
So is there more?
Yeah. Mr. Mayor, I move that we go with the letter as...
We have a motion on the floor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, the motion on the floor was to adopt this letter, and now we're talking about amendments. We're working up amendments, so I think it needs to be changed. But if it's just a response to this draft purpose and needs, the city's borough's position on it might not have much effect anyway, but I would hate to say we don't want the road. Something to think about in the future. It might be, you know, maybe 50 years from now is what I think of number that's been thrown out there, that there might be shuttle ferries and roads. You know, I'd like to see the mainline ferries forever, but who knows what the states can be able to fund and maintain. So I guess, do we have a motion to make an amendment to the letter?
I move that we adopt the letter as amended, leaving out, including the first paragraph, including the statements about seasonal transportation and essential ferry and air service, and including the city of Kuprinoff's right to be a roadless community.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to keep paragraph one, the two sentences from paragraph two, under consider improving existing transportation alternatives, and protect the city of Kuprinoff's rights as a roadless community. Is that okay? So it's been moved, and was there a second to it?
Yes.
Must have been. We discussed it. But Mr. Havlick, so any more discussion on this?
Did we eliminate the Petersburg would receive little, if any, benefit? Did we eliminate that whole thing?
Yes,
my understanding.
Oh, okay.
That we did.
Okay. Any more discussion? Kurt and John, are you keeping up to speed on what we're doing here?
You lost me in the end. I thought the previous discussion for the amendment was to also take out the don't shorten the time frame. Is that to be left in, or does this amendment or taken out?
My understanding was that was not included.
Included or will be included?
That it was taken out.
It is taken out.
So that would mean that we don't want them to shorten the time frame. We want them to do the full NEPA process.
No, the MAP 21 process is the shorter time frame.
And that's what we want to keep? How does it?
I'm not speaking to that issue. Let's put it that way. I'm agreeable to removing that paragraph, and I can make my own comments as a private citizen.
By taking it out, you're more or less saying, yeah, go ahead and do the faster
process.
Right. By not saying it in your letter,
taking
it out.
Okay. Now that we're clear on that. Okay, any other discussion on the amendment to the letter?
So were we clear on that? We're leaving that in or we're taking it out?
Eliminating it from the letter, I believe.
Yes, it's coming right out.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we all understand what we're doing? Mm-hmm. The clerk call the roll.
So this is amended. Sue?
This is on the amendment.
John Haverlett.
Yes.
John Ho.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
Nancy.
No.
Cindy.
Yes.
And Mark.
Yes. Okay, it passes 6-1. That was on the amendment. So I guess we need a motion to send the letter as amended. To be technical.
Move we send the letter to Federal Highway Administration.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to send the amended version of the letter to Federal Highway Administration. Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Mark.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
Nancy.
No.
Kurt.
Yes.
John. Haverlick.
Yes.
John Ho.
Yes.
And Sue.
Yes.
Okay, it passes 6-1 to send the modified letter to the Federal Highway.
But now the original motion is still out?
No.
Did that take care of it?
Just took care of it, I think.
We never did vote on the original.
Okay, then item F under unfinished business is the response to the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities regarding herbicide and pesticide applications in the borough. Assemblymember Havlick found the July 9th, 2013 written response from the Michael Coffey, Chief of Statewide Maintenance and Operations for Alaska Department of Transportation, insufficient. He has asked that the Assembly further discuss the matter since the borough expressed its concern about pesticide use by DOT. Two other municipalities have also expressed concern, Haines and Skagway boroughs, and I believe we have copies of letters in our packet. So, Member Hogue, what would you suggest that we do in a response?
No, I was hoping we could make a follow-up because, to me, this gentleman's letter was basically, we know best, so we're going to do what we want. And I don't feel they do. It's our roads, our fish, you know, our streams, our water, you know, our berries, whatever. And, you know, the state may claim dominance, but I think it's definitely worth us going to the next level and saying, we will file legal action if you, you know, and I understand John Hogue, when he brought this up last time, saying they'll say you have no choice, but I would still like to say that we will file legal action against you if you spray herbicides and pesticides against our, you know, roads and streams, you know, on our islands, and, well, in our borough, I'm sorry.
So how should we proceed from here? Any ideas from assembly members? Just write them a letter
yes.
to that effect?
That's what I meant. I'm sorry. Yeah, put that in a letter.
So, any comments on how we should word that?
Well, I thought Mr. Bracken might have another idea. We talked last time he was here about it, and since he's right here.
Barry, would you mind giving us your input, please?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, for the record, my name is Barry Bracken, longtime resident of Petersburg. I reside at 705 Sandy Beach Road. I share Mr. Haverlick's concern. I read that letter from ADOT, and basically it was just a telling the Assembly what their procedures were under the new guidelines, and really did nothing to address the concerns of this assembly. And you know, since that time, I certainly haven't changed my mind. I doubt if any of the assembly members have. In fact, one of the community members added another consideration to the list. We have a lot of organizations within the community that are doing the Adopt a Highway programs, picking up trash along in this affected area. Are they gonna have to wear hazmat suits in order to be protected during that process? I mean, there are so many different reasons why this shouldn't be done. I guess if I were to write a letter, trying to go back and forth, I would say we have something to the effect that you're very, very disappointed in the response that you received from ADOT, that you consider this at the borough level a very serious consideration, and would have hoped that there would be more concern expressed by the state, you know, toward the issues that you had pointed out. I don't know whether, you know, threatening legal action against the state is the right way to go, or whether you need to kick it up a level and consider drafting an ordinance. Assemblyman Hogue pointed out, the legislature could overturn that if they so choose. I'm not sure that they would do that, but it seems to me like sitting here and doing nothing with a response like that is certainly does not reflect the views of the community as I understand them. So, I don't know if that answers your question, Sue, but it's I think that some action should be taken. Maybe the first step would be a letter pointing out the disappointment and hoping that they would have given more attention to your concerns and more assurance that they would follow your lead, but I don't know.
So, the point, has any thought been given to contacting like a Representative Curtula or Munoz and Dennis Egan, and having them, and Senator Stadman, even though he's not currently our senator, and having them, if they were willing to express our concerns for us to the DOT?
We haven't really discussed it. This is our first discussion, mm-hmm. but I think definitely that would be good, and maybe even go statewide to the Alaska Municipal League or something like that, bring it to their attention, because the whole state's water. If you look from above, you know, mm-hmm. how are you going to keep it out of water?
Well, and it brings up the whole question of the power of political subdivisions within the state process. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, this is really where the rubber meets the road is, if the state is going to take action against the wishes of the people who live in an area, then that seems to be counterproductive, you know, or counterintuitive, the whole notion of political subdivisions having broad powers within the state system. So, I mean, perhaps that could be pointed out in the letter as well. It seems like this is totally against what the Constitution and, you know, past practices of the state have pursued in terms of giving power to local governments in order to manage your own affairs.
Yeah. Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Yes.
I would recommend, as a matter of fact, I'll make a motion that the borough send a letter along the lines of Mr. Bracken's statement that we were disappointed in the response that the state has, and ask them to see if they can give us some assurances that they really won't be spraying here. I would recommend that the letter not discuss the local powers versus the state, and I think it's premature to threaten litigation at this time. So, but it seems to me that perhaps the next level could be is telling the state that if they will not address our concerns, that we may pass an ordinance. Of all the alternatives, I don't think a litigation is appropriate. It probably would be, at this point, it'd be moot since the state hasn't said they're going to spray.
And I wonder if we could get more support from other communities. We have Skagway and Haines. Maybe Kathy have a...
I just wanted to inform you a little bit. Curtula's office has been keeping abreast of this, wanting to know what kind of response this will have gotten. This has been sent out to the Total Clerks Association and Southeast Conference, and the only response we got was Skagway on top of Haines. So I don't know if sending it out further is going to get any more response or not. The Curtula's office has been following. We have one legislator, I can't think of his name, actually had legislation out there. And I can't remember his name, you know, trying to get DOT to stop this.
Hmm.
And I suppose, you know, you could ask Curtula and maybe Stedman and all that to join on with him, because he was trying to make amendments to this process.
Cindy?
Mr. Mayor, I realize we have a motion on the floor. I'm wondering if adding to that letter that we would like the state to make some kind of a map or assessment of where uses are, where salmon streams are, that we could review so that we had some characterization of where we have specific concerns, rather than just saying, you know, we hope you don't spray in our area. But these are the areas where people collect water for household use. This is where this salmon stream intersects, and ask for some kind of a map that catalogs that information.
Mr. Mayor, along that line, perhaps, rather than just actually going to the trouble of drawing a map, what you could say is that because of these issues, this is the reason that we would like to have local control on the situation, rather than leaving it up to the state who, I mean, because we've, you know, the residents of this area know where those traditional gathering areas are. They know where the anadromous fish streams are. You know, they know where the water sources are. So that's why all you're asking for, basically, I think, is local control over that situation. And so maybe, you know, rather than drawing a map at this point, say that we, because of these issues, we want to have a voice in if and where this can occur. I think that's primarily what I was asking for initially.
Does that seem like a logical approach? Cindy, it does. Sounds like it to me. So we have a motion on the floor. I don't know if there was a second. But
I'll second it.
Okay. To send a letter back to DOT voicing our discouragement in their response, or disappointment in their response, and what else should we add to it?
Mr. Mayor, I think it'd be important to say we're reviewing all options that may be at our disposal to either intervene in this process or to stop this process or something, so they know that we are serious about looking at our options and what we can do to stop this. And we don't have to say legal, like
right.
John said, but.
So should we ask the city clerk to draft this letter with our points that we've made and what Mr. Hogue has brought up, and using Barry's comments? Kathy, do you think you can do that? And we can look at it at the meeting on the 19th?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
One more point, if I may. I know that I've received phone calls from Boscagway and Haines, my personally at home, and there is a fair amount of concern. And I don't think it would hurt anything, even though to date there's only the three communities that have expressed concern or interest in this item. I certainly don't think it would hurt to keep the other communities in Southeast Conference in the loop and so you always keep this thing going. And so if you do send out another letter, I don't think it would hurt anything to CC the Southeast Conference communities and members on the, so you make sure that everybody knows how this is progressing.
Does that make sense to the assembly to add that? It makes sense to me to get as much support for this issue as we can, so we have some control of what they do in our area.
No, thank you very much.
The communities, yes, and also our delegation. Oh. Yeah.
Correct. Okay. So there's a motion and a second, and we've come up with a plan to draft this letter with these ideas. Any more discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Okay, it's 7-0 to draft this letter and for review at the next meeting. Okay. On to new business. Cruising right along here. Item A, Ordinance 2013-11, an ordinance providing for Chapter 3.18 of the Municipal Code entitled Finance Department, updating current language to reflect borough incorporation and providing for the dissolution of the Finance Committee for the, should that be the borough of Petersburg?
That's what the attorney made the change for.
Oh.
Yeah.
So for the city of Petersburg, okay. It's the first reading. The ordinance carries over the city of Petersburg's code provisions to the borough code, lessens the amount of uncollectible bills that can be written off from $100 to $50, and dissolves the finance committee. The ordinance has received legal review. So I entertain a motion to adopt ordinance 2013 in its first reading.
I so move.
I'll second.
Been moved by Member Flint, seconded by Member Lagadakis to adopt ordinance 2013-11 in its first reading. Any discussion?
Mr. Mayor, I wanted
yes.
to comment a little bit about the Finance Committee. We've talked about this back and forth, should we continue or not, as all the committees in the borough have done. And I guess what we decided is, first of all, when Councilman Kings was here, he didn't want anything done in a Finance Committee. He wanted the whole council to do that, and so we've done that since then. And I guess the feeling now is that if we need something to go to a committee, we can always have an ad hoc finance meeting for specific issues, but not have to schedule regular meetings. So,
right. Any more discussion? I agree. I think it comes before the assembly in a couple different times. You know, the department heads present it, and the city manager presents it, and we have plenty of time to review it, without having an official committee. So, if there's no more discussion, will the clerk please call the roll? Any more discussion? Hearing none.
John Hogue.
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
John Heverle?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Okay, it passes 7-0. Item B, Ordinance 2013-12, an ordinance providing for Chapter 4.35 of the Municipal Code entitled Property Development Fund, updating current language to reflect borough incorporation and designating that funds from the sale or for acquisition of state entitlement lands be deposited into or dispersed from the Property Development Fund. It's the first reading. The title of the ordinance explains its purpose, and the ordinance has been reviewed from received legal review. So, entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance.
I so move.
Second.
It's been moved by Member Lagadakis, seconded by Member Flint, to adopt Ordinance 2013-12 in its first reading. Any discussion? Seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll?
Sue?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
John Ho?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
John Heverle?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Okay, resolution ordinance in its first reading, 2013-12 passes 7-0. And now we're on to resolution 2013-18. This is a resolution waiving the competitive bid process and authorizing a sales and installation agreement for the specialized alarm equipment for the Petersburg High School. The alarm system at the high school is outdated and has been causing numerous false alarms. In addition, the aged system is not compatible with the newer system. It must work with located at the Aquatic Center. The Building and Maintenance Department is recommending that the borough waive the competitive bid process and enter into a sales and installation agreement with Tyco Simplex Brunel, the existing alarm servicing company for the existing facilities, I guess, and to install a compatible replacement fire alarm system for a price not to exceed $67,963. Entertain a motion to adopt resolution 2013-18.
So move.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded by everybody in the room, so any discussion?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I would like an explanation as to why we shouldn't use a competitive bid process.
We have someone in the room that could probably explain that better than anybody. Rob, do you?
I could.
Leo can explain that. Okay.
Yeah, this system is compatible. All our buildings are under the Simplex system, the library, the fire hall, and museum, so when we have a problem, they can come and service all the facilities. It's a darn good system. The high school system is a little different, and it's 30 years old, so we want everything to mesh together so we don't get false alarms and have firefighters showing up in the middle of the night not knowing what to do or where to go.
Did you hear that, Mr. Hogue?
I heard about half of it. The system is 30 years old. What I didn't hear, or at least didn't come through because some of it was garbled, is why shouldn't we try a competitive bid process to see if any other company could make a bid on this system and make it work?
Mr. Mayor,
go ahead. The city
John,
manager.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. The reason this is a single source is every other alarm system on the municipal buildings we have is through this same company, and we're replacing an old one at the high school. If we put it out to bids where we had to replace this, and change everything else, it'd end up costing us a lot more money.
Well, I understand that, but could it be put out to bid to say that whoever bids is going to have to interface with the existing system that's working?
Leo, if I may, Mr. Mayor, yeah. Leo, could you walk up to the phone and repeat it for John? So, I'm sorry. That's probably easier than me trying to speak for him.
Yeah. Can you hear me now? Hello?
Yeah,
the existing alarm systems in the museum, fire hall, and pool are all these alarm systems. And the pool has a very new style alarm system. This is a proprietary brand. I don't think any other companies could hook into it, and there's one service person for the region, so I think it's a reasonable price for what we're getting. and they're going to redo the whole high school and tie it into the community general, or pool, excuse me.
Did you hear that, John?
Yes.
Okay. And the borough has designated $70,000 in fiscal year 13 and 14 for these building repairs. So it's like $2,100. The bid is $2,100 under what we have appropriated for it. So the funding is there. Any more discussion on resolution 2013-18? Kurt or John?
Yeah, I've heard that.
Okay. Seeing there's no more discussion, will the clerk call the roll?
Mark.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
John Haverlett.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
John Hogue.
Yes.
And Sue.
Yes.
Okay, resolution 2013-18 passes 7-0. Brings us to item D under new business, resolution 2013-19, a resolution supporting Southeast Conference's request to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities to run two Alaska Marine Highway vessels from the port of Prince Rupert, one year round and one running May through September. I'd entertain a motion to adopt resolution 2013-18.
So moved.
Is there a second?
A second.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Haverlick, seconded by Member Flint, to adopt resolution 2013-19. Any discussion?
Nancy.
Oh, Nancy?
I'm concerned about the use of the phrase non-essential vessel schedules in both of these. Somebody already thinks that much of the scheduling into and out of Petersburg is non-essential, and they may come back later when they want to wipe out what's left of our schedule and say, well, this is just what you asked for.
Where's that at in the resolution, Nancy?
Now, therefore, be it resolved.
It's toward the bottom of the resolution.
The last sentence in the now, therefore, be it resolved. And if required, modify non-essential vessel schedules to reduce the Alaska Marine Highway System budget.
Yeah, what would the...
Mr. Mayor, I think it's asking for a trade-off, that in order to support these ferry runs down to Prince Rupert, that they take the hit from the non-essential ferries, not that our ferry necessarily is non-essential. I understand what you're saying, though. I feel that all the ferries are essential.
So do I, and I felt that all our fast ferry service was essential, but somebody apparently feels that Petersburg is non-essential when it comes to some of the ferry service, and we may be asking for them to further deplete our service.
So
I just have concerns about leaving that in.
So how would you like it? Where did,
well,
Sue?
If you read the 1, 2, 3, whereas there it says what the state wanted to do in, this is in the Southeast Conference one, was leave the Taku tied up through June. What they're saying is don't leave it tied up, non-essential, get it on the route.
Right,
so
I understand that. So in order to make up for that, we can put the Taku back on in service before it's usually scheduled, and to make up, to save the budget, we'll just cut out one more trip stop in Petersburg.
No.
No, it doesn't.
Well, no, it doesn't say that, but Petersburg the non-essential vessel schedules is alarming.
Okay. Leo raised his hand in the back and seen, so he's the transportation...
I'm the chair of the Southeast Conference Transportation Committee, and the goal of that was the state is picking up these little routes to like Gustavus and Pelican, and they need some ferry service, but every time they do that, they have to give somewhere. And they're proposing another 3% cut this year, And the way they do this is they keep shortening that 6 months window, and we're trying to fish is supposed to go out, people are supposed to go out, school children and all, and so it's specifically directed towards that.
Right, and in the meantime, Ferries and Haynes are backed up and waiting for a ferry to leave so another one can tie up.
But the non-essential part isn't the isn't that crucial to the motion, in my opinion.
Well,
Juneau's looking at this, Sitka's looking at this, and Southeast Conference hopes that every city passes a similar resolution to send a message that we need ferry service.
So they would, Southeast Conference is looking at, just like our resolution says, to put on another mainline ferry for more times of the year, and then maybe not supply the non-essential ferry services.
Well, that's their decision. This is just,
right, but
we need the two boats, and one has to run 6 months, and it's going to affect fish shipments, and it's affecting everybody else too.
So I guess where we're at here is if Member Strand would like to take that out of the resolution, we need a...
Well, I just, who decides what's non-essential? Who decides which vessels are non-essential? Somebody's already decided that much of the service to Petersburg is non-essential, apparently, because they've done away with it already.
Yeah. It is less of a service than we've had in the past, but I mean, it's due to cost, I would imagine.
Mr. Mayor, Cindy, if I might offer an amendment that we just strike and, if required, modify non-essential, and it doesn't really change the flavor of the resolution.
Is there a second?
Well, second.
If I just may add a comment. Leo, am I correct? This resolution was written by Southeast Conference?
Yes.
So, therefore, if you don't approve it as it is, then we don't approve the Southeast Conference resolution. You're going to need us to write one that's Petersburg specific.
Okay. So we're basically a mirror resolution to support Southeast Conference.
Correct. Southeast Conference is trying to get multiple communities to support this resolution. If the Assembly doesn't want to approve their resolution, then I would suggest you don't approve this, and we go write a different one and bring it back to you. It says what you want it to say. I mean, that's...
I see what you're saying.
I don't think we can change their
resolution. Conference. Yeah,
correct.
I understand.
Sorry. Thank you.
Okay, so... Yes.
I believe that non-essential ferry service is probably already written into the ferry's, you know, mission statement or something. I don't think that's something that we just grabbed out of the air. And again, I'm not sure how many of you have ever been down around Cape Decision and then back to Wrangell, but it's just not advantageous for the ferry system to pass up Petersburg. I doubt if they would have spent that much money to put the navigation agent in the Wrangell Narrows just to eventually try to bypass Petersburg. I mean, you're adding probably 75 miles or better to your trip from Juneau to Wrangell to go down around Cape Decision. So, again, I just don't see where the ferry service is ever going to be eliminated out of Petersburg altogether.
We can only hope that, yeah. So, anyway, we had Member Logadakis was amending the motion. Would you like to?
Should I withdraw the amendment?
You can.
Nancy
supported it.
Yeah, withdraw. If we can't approve it except as written. I just want to voice my concern about the phrase non-essential scheduling.
Yeah. Okay, so that brings us back to, time's up.
John.
So. Can we finish the resolution where we're at, or we can? Let's take a 5-minute break.
Okay.
to the chapel and we're gonna get married. Going to the chapel and we're gonna get married. Gee, I really love you and we're gonna get married. Going to the chapel of love. Spring is here, the sky is blue. Whoa, birds all sing as if they knew. Today's the day we'll say I do, and we'll never be lonely anymore, because we're going to the chapel and we're gonna get married. Going to the chapel and we're gonna get married. Gee, I really love you and we're gonna get married. Going to the chapel of love. Bells will ring, the sun will shine. Whoa, I'll be his and he'll be mine. We'll love until the end of time, and we'll never be lonely anymore, because we're going to the chapel and we're gonna get married. Going to the chapel and we're gonna get married.
We did, yeah.
Well, we weren't recording anyway.
Oh, that's right.
What's that?
Well, we'll bring it up when we get Mr.
I can try calling again.
Well, okay. Could you be? Yeah. And we're in the middle of resolution 2013-19, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, because he wanted to talk about the
working through some labor negotiations.
I'm going to see if I can get you guys both together now without disconnecting one of you, so hold on. Hello?
Yes?
Do I have you, Kurt?
Yes.
Okay, well, we're all back. Okay, we're under discussion, I believe, on Resolution 213-19, a resolution supporting Southeast Conference's request to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities to run two Alaska Marine Highway vessels from the port of Prince Rupert, one year-round and one May through September. So, the amendment to the resolution has been withdrawn, so we're back to supporting the main resolution or discussion on that resolution. So any more discussion on it? Will the clerk call the roll?
John Heverlett.
No.
Kurt.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Nancy.
No.
Sue.
Yes.
John Hogg.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
Okay, it passes 5-2. Under communications, there's a letter from Anchorage Mayor Dan Sullivan. Mayor Sullivan has informed that the International Lawyers Conference will be held in Anchorage in May of 2014. He is reaching out to all municipalities for support of the event. He has asked that communities choose to send a representative to attend the event, participate on volunteer committees, or avail themselves to speaker opportunities. So if anybody's interested in attending that, John Hogue, sounds like something you can go to.
Well, frankly, Mr. Mayor, I don't think it has a lot to do with this community.
No,
I don't see.
No, he's just reaching out to everybody, I guess. So.
Yeah, I guess the borough, I wouldn't recommend the borough spend its resources on it.
Okay. So maybe we could, do you think we need to reply in a letter or just ignore it?
Mr. Mayor, where they couldn't even recognize that you are the mayor,
I really
am not too concerned about responding.
I didn't read the whole letter. So.
Mr. Dwyer.
Oh, well, we'll give it to Al and let him make a decision then. That's interesting. I'll have to bring that up next time I see Sullivan.
Yeah.
Okay, assembly discussion items, recognitions. This agenda item is reserved to acknowledge individuals, groups, department heads, agencies, or anyone for their contributions toward the betterment of the Petersburg community. So any recognitions by any Mr. Havlick?
So, Mr. Mayor, I have two. One is a thank you to the harbor staff and the police for coordinating their efforts and catching the returning the gentleman from Kuprinoff's skiff within 24 hours. That was a very expensive boat, and I'm glad to see he got it back so fast, and you guys coordinated and did a fine job. And the other was more of, I didn't know if we wanted to make an announcement in this meeting about Senator Murkowski doing a meet and greet at the Fisherman's Net restaurant.
Sure, people might be listening to this, but they don't listen to other things on the radio. Do we have a time back? I don't remember the times.
So. I thought it was Tuesday morning from 8 to 10. I'm not positive.
I'm actually not sure.
Tomorrow morning sometime.
Yeah. I believe it was from 8 to 10.
There are PSAs on the radio.
So, okay. If the person wants to attend the meet and greet with Senator Lisa Murkowski, it's tomorrow morning in Petersburg at the Fisherman's Cafe.
Yes.
To find the accurate time, you could probably call the borough office.
We'll track that down because we were also given a time at 5:30 to 6:30 at the Sons of Norway.
That's the second thing.
Is it? Okay. Well, and then we were told she was going to be in Cake and Angoon during the day and wouldn't be arriving in Petersburg till 5 p.m. So maybe their plans have changed.
Good morning is Wednesday.
Oh, Wednesday morning. I'm sorry. Yeah, Wednesday morning.
So we'll put the...
Thanks, sir.
Thanks.
Correct time's up. Okay, any other recognitions or...
I just wanted to thank the Coast Guard for inviting us and the community to the change of command ceremonies. I thought they were really well done. I appreciated all of the food and the opportunity to meet the members of the Coast Guard in this community. We don't always get to say thank you, and we don't always get to see them, so it was a nice opportunity to do a little socializing and recognize folks for their effort.
Hopefully they can remain in Petersburg.
Yeah.
Okay, if there's any more recognitions by staff or assembly members, we're going to have item B under assembly discussions, and that's a discussion on assembly member Hogue working for the borough on labor issues. So, Mr. Hogue, you wanted to add this to the agenda, and what would you like to talk about?
Mr. Mayor, members of the assembly, recently the city manager informed me that there's one, probably two grievances from PMEA that will proceed to grievance arbitration, and I had volunteered and he had accepted that I would go ahead and handle those for the borough without charge. And member Lakadakis apparently expressed some concern about me taking this role on behalf of the borough, and so I thought it should be on the table for a borough discussion, because I certainly don't want the city manager to be criticized for taking advantage of my offer.
Okay, thank you. Any input from any other assembly members on having Mr. Hogue represent the borough for these specific reasons?
Mr. Mayor, this is a question for Councilor Hogue. Isn't your findings and recommendations going to be brought before the assembly for our approval?
In executive session, I would, bring any, grievance forward just like any other piece of litigation, and give the assembly my predictions of success or failure and recommendations as to how to proceed.
We have never, ever, ever brought grievances forward to the assembly, and I don't think we want to start.
Well, I would do it in executive session. It is litigation, but it's...
Okay.
I guess my concern was then that would he be acting solely on his own and then representing us as a borough, or would he be, you know, asking for our recommendation? That's all my question really was directed.
I would handle it as if, well, if the city manager, excuse me, the borough manager doesn't feel the need for me to bring it to the assembly, that's fine. I mean, I would be acting as the borough's attorney, working for the city, the borough assembly manager.
If I may, Mayor,
yes.
Mr. Mayor, traditionally how we handle labor issues, and Kurt, yell if you're not hearing me.
I can hear you perfectly, thank you.
Great. Those are handled internally as part of our agreement with the particular union. And then, you know, for example, using John as the counsel here, he'd bring back to us, similar to how we did the IBEW negotiations, here's where we are. Do you agree or disagree with this solution? And myself and staff would say, yes, thumbs up, thumbs down, change this. And I would assume as we go into arbitration, it'd be something similar, although that's a process that I've not gone through here in Alaska. So generally, it would not be an assembly-level decision. It's done at the staff level.
Member Ladavakis?
I had two concerns about this, and one was that if we have a borough an assembly member acting as the borough attorney, that our borough attorney has a claim that we are taking work essentially away from him. And Assembly Member Hogue said to me, this using him saves the borough money, and I understand that, and I appreciate that. And that he had more experience in this realm than the city manager did. My argument would then be, then we need to train the city manager, bring up his level of expertise, that we wouldn't bring in a friend of somebody to do their job, which is essentially what's happening here. And I'm a little uncomfortable about the assembly getting involved in labor relations. Somehow that muddies the waters for me, and I can't tell you exactly whether it's appropriate or not appropriate, but it does give me some discomfort.
Member Flint?
I was curious if you had run this idea by our borough attorney and what that was.
If I can speak to the past, mm-hmm. When I first arrived here, the borough was using a separate attorney for labor issues, and then our existing city attorney was handling contract stuff, and we had Jim and Sarah handling the borough process and Tom Klinkner doing redistricting. So we have a history of using specific attorneys for specific tasks based on their expertise. There's no issue with us using whoever we want to on specific issues. If we go back to the IBEW negotiations where Assemblymember Hogue represented us and did the lion's share of the negotiating, provided a pretty large savings to the borough, and it came out pretty positive in our favor. I based that on his experience, and I did gain from that process as well as I think the staff did as well, meaning John didn't negotiate in a vacuum. What he did was take the lead on the process, come back to us and say, here's what we can probably get, here's what we probably can't get, and then went back to the group and said, here's, and presented the borough's case to the association. I think those of you remember, he also then came and gave periodic updates to the assembly, not in his role as an assembly member, but as his role as the head negotiator for the process. Employee arbitration is a little bit different than that. We have an agreement with the association to follow certain steps related to employee discipline, which generally falls in my world. When it gets to a certain point, though, it goes outside where it's in these two cases, it appears it's going, which is, I've said no, we're going to stand firm with what we've done. The association and the employees involved have the right to take it to arbitration, where an arbitrator will then take it, and generally we would have somebody represent us, whether it wouldn't generally be me, it would be an outside attorney representing us in arbitration. I believe what Assemblymember Hogue's saying or asking is, does everybody feel comfortable with him filling that role, or would you want us to go hire the borough attorney to come represent us? I mean, I'm very comfortable with what John did for us in the IBEW negotiations, and he continues to give us good advice in those areas. But I, you know, I report to the seven of you, mm-hmm. and I want to make sure that everybody else is comfortable with it, if that makes any sense. Kathy, did I?
So, Sue, you have a concern?
I am not comfortable with one of us taking a role with personnel. I feel like we're supposed to stay back and address you and let you deal with that, and not us be involved in the personnel issues. Obviously, we already have breached that with having him do the union contract.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Mr. Waller.
Does that add continuity to the ongoing negotiations? Because Anthony does he, correct me if I'm wrong, but does he not have a history with this already?
Oh, with these issues at hand?
There's no question, Kurt, that John's expertise in this area is greater than our current city attorney.
I have no problem with that. I mean, what I was trying to think was just to make sure that, you know, the motives were pure, and I believe that that they are pure. So I have no problem with this.
Member Havlick?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I would go along with this also, just because he's worked on the contract. He knows it better than any outsider, again, more than our borough attorney. And I understand this is a gray area, but, you know, we've got a person who has over 30 years' expertise in this area, which is more than our borough attorney. And, you know, economically, it's the right thing to do. He's an in-house expert, which makes me very comfortable. And it'd be nice to have someone in-house, you know, even though it's an assembly person, going through this. And also it'd be someone that's an in-house person to offer training to our staff, you know, because going through the process with someone that really knows what they're doing, rather than an attorney that's coming in and out of town, I think translates to where. And I appreciate John offering this, but it would help our staff be able to phase in faster and John phase out faster in this role, because then our people would have the in-house expertise to carry on themselves.
Okay, any other comments? Nancy, do you have a...
I agree that it's very sensitive to have one of us dealing with this at this level, and wonder if maybe we should ask our attorney for his opinion on whether one of our counselors or assembly persons should be the person person dealing with this on this level.
In your opinion, Steve, and maybe we should get the attorney's opinion on it, if there's any...
Yeah, I'm not an attorney.
If there's any legal repercussions that the borough could suffer from this. Cindy?
My other question would be, is this going to be an ongoing situation, or will dealing with the grievances and this kind of, mm-hmm. I don't want to say relationship, but and the John's involvement in the labor negotiations?
I can speak to, I mean, that's really up to the assembly. I mean, we had plans, I'll be honest with you, my first day on the job here, you were finalizing the PMEA agreement, and all I heard from employees was how contentious, and that's maybe a light, easy word. We went through the IBEW negotiation with John taking the lead, and it went really, really smooth and was settled and done really well. The staff and I have spoken, and we had full intention of using John to do that with the PMEA contract, which is, you know, we'll start work on, you know, next spring, give or take. But that is entirely up to the assembly. It's not up to me. So grievances, generally, we handle them all the way up through what's called step two, which is where it comes to me. After that, the association has the opportunity to send it to arbitration, and that's the case where we've brought John in on these two. Again, that's up to the assembly. I mean, it'd be nice to let him at least finish these two since he's this far along in the process, but again, that is an assembly level decision.
Member Flint?
I just would be curious, and I know we don't have an answer maybe right now, but something to think about is, what do the employees think? What do the department heads think? Are they comfortable with this? I'm just thinking about how I would feel if I was the employee. I don't think I would like this situation, but maybe everybody's fine with it, and it's I don't know.
I can't speak for department heads.
Want them to feel they have to answer here.
No,
but
it's probably not a good idea. I would think if there's no legal problems with it, I'm good with having an assembly member dedicate his time to represent us, especially with the knowledge he has in this field. But I guess maybe we should.
We can ask
before Sarah. We can make it. Before I would be willing to make a decision, I'd like to hear from our borough attorney and see if that's acceptable. That's my position on it.
Mr. Mayor, one comment towards that, Kurt here. He is just one vote, and so I don't think he's going to try to influence anybody on the assembly to vote differently.
Right. Personally, I'd like to see if there's any legal issues involved with it, having an elected official representing the borough as an attorney on the issues. You know, he's not getting paid, I know that, so so where does it stand? We're looking for Mr. Hoag asked for support from the assembly to do this before he pursued it or went further. Mr. Haverly?
Hey, Mr. Mayor, to my view, he really isn't serving as the borough's attorney on this. He's more as a support and advisor based on his life's work. So I don't see him fulfilling a legal status. That's why I don't see a problem in it.
I mean, I can speak. I mean, it's unique because we're dealing with law and employees, but you know, I've talked to the mayor several times, or Kurt, about commercial fishing. We consult. One of the reasons the community elects who they do is because you represent the different parts of the community in different ways, and staff, we use your expertise in a lot of different ways. What are you hearing from the community? That kind of is a fairly common thing. You know, this is, I suppose, a gray area in the sense of if, you know, he's providing legal expertise based on his background. It won't hurt us. We can ask Sarah and see what she says, or Sarah and Jim, and bring it back to you.
So what's the time? Is this time sensitive?
No, not at the moment. It could get that way, but for
the
moment.
We have until the 19th. If we get an answer, we address it at that meeting?
Right now, because of some vacations on the union side, John is scheduled to get back in touch with them sometime after the 12th, I believe, of August. So, and that's just, we're at choosing arbitrators, and there's a process you go through to choose the arbitrators that will decide the case.
Mr. Mayor,
yes.
For Steve, if we do consult with the attorneys on this question, I would also ask if it would be appropriate for Member Hoag to recuse himself
from a vote on anything that the assembly voted on as a result of his negotiations.
I don't know that he'd have to if
we'll find
if
out.
I'm just saying, ask that question. I don't know either. There.
No, we
so
can
maybe
ask.
We should present those questions to Brennan and see what kind of an answer we get and bring it up at the next meeting. Does that sound all right to you, Kurt and John?
I could not hear half of what was being said. It sounded something like you were going to get an opinion from the city attorney.
Yeah, correct, from Brennan Heidemann.
Yeah, go right ahead, file with me.
Okay, we're going to talk about it at the next meeting, 19th. So, yeah, in the meantime, if there's discussion that needs to take place with Mr. Hogue, should we let him continue?
We'll cross that bridge. I mean, honestly, I don't think anything's going to happen between now and the next meeting. Okay. So it's, this does not come up that often. I mean, this is really, we got two arbitration cases that are in action right now. We haven't had any in the other year and a half I was here. Exactly. So it's just happened. Now that being said, you heard me talk about preparing for the future contract. We're already starting on job descriptions that involve a vetting process of looking through that. We're looking at all sorts of stuff related to that. So it's an important thing to get settled as we move through this process. We want each of these negotiations on these contracts to go as smooth as the last one did, which means we need to do our homework.
So is Mr. Hogue working on those policies and job descriptions?
Not yet, but he comes into the equation at times if we get into it far enough and we start having questions about or pushback from the association, the union, when we send things to him and say we want to change these job descriptions. They'll come back and potentially say no. Now we're gonna. And we're not there yet, but that will occur at some point.
So I'm glad you brought it up, John, and Member Lagadakis will clear the air and we'll move forward. So if there's no more discussion on this item, John or Kurt, you have anything to add or say?
No, thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adjourn.
That's the next item. Okay. All those that are approved or adjourned, like to adjourn, say aye.
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 Okay, we're done.
Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, helping clients find out how to protect any valuable asset from stamp or teacup collections to houses, boats of all sizes, and everything in between. Plenty of information from the local agents is available at Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, 772-3858.